Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It is truly an honor and a privilege to be joined by our next guest. This is probably the last NFL draft guest that we're going to have for some time. And you know what? We have really, truly saved the best for last. I believe at some point he will be in Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is the longtime legendary voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holthus joins us on the show. Mitch, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome, C-Dot. How about you? You mean you don't want my 2027 mock draft? Seven rounds?
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, eventually I will want your future mock draft, just not today.
All right, good. Because I'm about drafted out too, but I'm sure excited about these new cats we got rolling into town. And, of course, rookie minicamp this week. It's exciting to see what Brett Veach and his group did.
So let's just start with this. What excites you most about this class?
I think that value is a cliche, overworked term. But there's just awesome value here. I'm most excited about Saturday. The guys they got on Friday and Saturday, or Thursday and Friday, I'm fired up about. But Saturday feels like 2022 to me. Remember the draft class of 2022. There's going to be a 30 for 30 someday on those guys. And the amazing job that was done. And you think of all those guys still being around this team on the 22 class. Well, in this group of 25 on Saturday, to get Jalen Royals, who was under-recruited in college, stayed at Utah State, blew up there, okay, got hurt, he dropped down, but he's a young version of Juju Smith-Schuster. Then to get Bassa, who, man, at the least is going to give you immediate special teams athleticism, and then to get Smith, who might be the next Jerick McKinnon at the least, and to get those guys on Saturday, to me, spectacular.
Let's start from the top and then we'll work our way down with Josh Simmons. He was a player that we talked a lot about on this show just because I think it opened up a lot of possibilities for Kansas City for the future. If you look at the way the contracts are kind of settled, it gives you an easy plan for the future. There also isn't a lot of pressure on him to start for this upcoming season. He can fully rehab, get right, get healthy, step in case of an injury happens in the second half of the season, but more importantly, be ready in 2026 to start at either left or right tackle for this team. I thought when you saw the way that the board fell together, I thought this was the pick that made the most sense to me for Kansas City.
Let's go back to our pre-draft discussion and what Brett Veach had done to prepare and his staff had done to prepare for the draft. And there wasn't necessarily this, man, they've got to take a left tackle or they're going to be in panic. So what did that do? That allowed them to take Simmons and still make the trade with Philadelphia. Philadelphia didn't know if the Chiefs were going to trade out to someone who was going to take Jihad, the linebacker, out of Alabama, and then Philly would lose out on their guy. So because of that pre-draft work, there were a lot of options. The Chiefs still get the guy they wanted, Simmons, to your point. They get an additional draft pick in the fifth round that allowed them to then package and move twice on Saturday. I mean, we've all discussed Simmons over and over again. It's about the injury, the patella tendon injury. It's tricky. There's no surefire fastball rehab from that. We know that he was a good right tackle at San Diego State, a really good left tackle at Ohio State, quasi-spectacular left tackle in the first part of the first six games before he got hurt at Ohio State. So at the very least, you've got a guy that could be a long-time starter. At the best, you might have the best left tackle since Willie Rofe dressed in red, white, and gold. And if you've got that, then you've got at least 8-year Pro Bowl, big-time impact offensive lineman for Patrick Mahomes.
That goes to my next point, Mitch, is why I was in favor of them drafting Simmons is this just isn't a player that is usually going to be available to the Chiefs with where they usually select. I mean, these kinds of talents at left tackle don't fall to you at 31, 32. Those players go 8th. Those players go 11th. Those players just go pretty high off the board. So I thought the value of Simmons, especially when you factor in what we were talking about, that you don't need him to start week 1, week 2, week 3, the value was just too strong at that position to pass on.
Well, and you and I agree, because that goes back to my original comment, my answer to you, was value. And it's the 22 class. Look at the value of McDuffie. Look at the value of Karlaftis. Every one of those picks. Brian Cook's a value pick. Keep going right on down the line to the 3 7th-round picks that end up being an awesome value because they're all still on the team. So now you've got Simmons, and honestly, and you guys have probably discussed this, the only way you get a potential left tackle like Simmons is if there's something that's happened off the field and people just let him slide, or he's in an injury concern. And that's why he dropped a 32. In this instance. But I also trust, and I told Fesco and Dusty this, you trust the vetting process of the medical side of the Chiefs, whether it's Rick Burkholder and his athletic training staff. But here's what's important, CDOT, that gets overlooked. The way that Rick and his staff work in concert with the team doctors that work in concert with the scouts, that work in concert with the players. I mean, I'm sorry, with the coaches. And you'd think, well, that's the way it ought to be. Truthfully, it's rare that it happens that well. And the fact that there's nobody that's got ego here, nobody's going to take pick or credit for the pick if it works out. It's just, let's do the right thing at the right time. So I trust that vetting process with Josh Simmons. And now, all intents and purposes, it shows that he may be on the field quicker than I thought he would be prior to the Chiefs drafting him. So, again, we trust in all those folks I just mentioned.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, getting his thoughts on the Chiefs draft class. Let's move from round one, and we'll talk about these two guys as sort of a package deal because they were drafted so close together. The Chiefs in the second round get Omar Norman Lott at pick 63. They also get Ashton Gelati with the 66th overall pick. What do you make of them going D-line in essentially back-to-back picks?
Well, initially, and I'll just be candid with you, I was thinking I want a inside, I might have told you this before the draft. My wish list was, can you find another Jerick McKinnon? Can you get a starter on the defensive inside tech to be right there with Chris Jones? And so basically what they've done is packaged up these guys because they both look like sub-down players, at least to start their career. Now, in the case of Norman Lott, you get a guy that looks a lot like a better version, perhaps, of Turk Wharton, although Turk was really good. But you throw Gelati then in with Norman Lott, in with the fact that you've got Amenihu, and you've got Karlaftis, and you've got Mike Dana, and you've got Felix Anudike Uzama, and you've got Mike Pinnell, and you picked up Jerry Tillery, and oh yeah, you've got Chris Jones, and I'm leaving somebody out in this mix. But you basically got already a 4-man rotation inside and a 5-man rotation outside with these two guys. And so even though there might have been an initial thought of, oh, man, I want an inside tech a starter, you realize and see what happened in getting two guys that are very, very good players and very impactful players. Gelati's 23 was much like Jalen Royal's 23. It was awesome. And so he didn't have the sacks in 24, but he had more pressures. Matt McMullen and I talked about this in the defending kingdom that's up. We go through all these guys in even further detail. But the pressures of Gelati actually went up in 24 when the sacks went down. And the fact that he's so closely knit with Karlaftis, trains with Karlaftis, they share the same college coach, that it seems like a really good fit. So this defensive front for the Chiefs, you've got to look at in the sum of the parts, and that's nine guys that are ready to go right now that you can rotate and stay effective over a 17-week regular season.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this question or not before, but where do you think Felix kind of fits into their rotation? Because, I mean, they just drafted somebody that plays his position. There hasn't necessarily been that pathway to the field for him so far. But when I look at that spot opposite George Karlaftis, Aminu, who certainly has the inside track, but after that, you got Dana, you got Gelati, you got Felix. Where do you think Felix kind of fits into that group?
I just think it rotates around. I mean, it's a popcorn popper with those guys, and that's the way Spags loves it. Two things. One, he stays unpredictable, Spags, in his defense. Two, he can rest these guys. You're not driving them into the ground. So many defensive linemen at every level, I don't care if it's Missouri Southern or it's the high school level or the NFL, you can drive these dudes into the ground by, you go, I got to play this guy, I got to play this guy. And then over all of a sudden, the snap count goes way up. And then you're in trouble. He gets hurt in week 13. So with the versatility, going inside or outside, being unpredictable, and having the bulk of guys that Spags has, this is perfect for him to keep people healthy and keep people robust. Even though you can sit there, it's much like the receiver position for the Chiefs or trying to pick a guy for your fantasy team. There's nobody really one guy to take, but on a week-to-week basis, you want them all. So I just think it's awesome. When you look at the front nine that they've got now on that defensive front, and then you add the linebacker core, because you kept everybody. You got Nick Bolton back. So Bolt's there. You got Chanel back. You've got Tranquil back. Now you add Bassett to this group. You still have – you got to get Cochran off his injury rehab, but we can just keep going here. Now all of a sudden – you're set in the secondary because you added – I know where you're going next, because Williams deserves to be a part of the discussion, because you just got another Spags – corner safety combo to me. I mean, this defense is set. It's going to roll into this OTAs and into the training camp ready to roll. It could be one of the NFL's top defenses again.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's keep it rolling along. Let's talk about Noel Williams. What I really like about him, just going back and reading more about his draft profile, is this is the guy that took the football away. If I had to point to a couple of weaknesses for the Chiefs defense the last couple of years, I wouldn't really call them a ball-hawking kind of defense that forces a lot of turnovers. So having a corner that you think can take the football away, especially when you pair that with a corner as talented as McDuffie, you add Christian Fulton, and you got some other corners in the mix. I'm looking at the value that they got with Noel Williams. This is the perfect third round player to me.
A thicker type corner. Looks like a Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams guy. I think with his intelligence and his willingness to play the run, look at his tackle totals. I mean, he is a willing, wanting tackler. It looks like a Justin Reed replacement for sure to me. Maybe not right away, but eventually. And you mentioned his ball skills. 14 career picks. 14. And then you see four scoop and scores, which is ridiculous at any level in college. And then he's got a pick six. Then he's got an 80-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. I know people have kind of joked about it, but he picked off a 1-1 quarterback in this draft in Cam Ward. Williams is a stud now, and he might be. He plays in the box. So, again, let's go back what Spags likes. Versatility, corners that look like safeties, that tackle like safeties, and safeties that can cover like corners. And Williams fits right into that group.
Let's keep it down the line. You mentioned Jalen Royals. You used the Juju Smith-Schuster comparison. The Chiefs certainly have a style and kind of receiver that they like. When I started to read more about Royals, I'm like, oh, this is the receiver that they already have. You think he can be Juju? You think he can be Rashee Rice? If an injury happens, you feel comfortable putting him into that role. I think the value of where they got Royals makes a lot of sense. And this hasn't really been a player that they've developed a whole lot. That kind of third, fourth receiver that could maybe have 500-600 yards. They haven't really drafted and developed that player. I'm really curious to see how this works out.
Ability to play special teams as well. He was the kick returner for Utah State before he got hurt. I love the fact that he played basketball. I've said this before, but I like my quarterbacks and point guard, quarterbacks and wide receivers in football to be point guards who have played point guard at some level. And this kid did that. He was AAU basketball circuit. That's why he got under recruited and the fact that he didn't go to all these combines in the summer. But his footwork, his intelligence, his understanding of defenses, when you go watch his video, you'll see him handle zone coverages to find that void in the zone. But I've said this before. I learned in 2013 in Coach Reed's offense the importance of a door hinge receiver. And I first saw it from Jason Avant. You remember him. It's at the end of his career, but he did this for Coach in Philadelphia. And the door hinge receiver to me is a guy, because Coach works off geometric attacks. I mean, someday he's going to give seminars that are going to just blow people's minds. And the way he arranges and sets up pre-snap, post-snap, in getting guys open. Think of what Juju Smith-Schuster did in his ability in 22, especially, but really last year as well, of getting Kelsey open. And he can get others open now. That could be the legal pick. That's an art form to do so that it doesn't look like a penalty. Another, bubble screens, tunnel screens, where you run your route. If I run an inside route, a pivot route, or something that opens up and influences the defense to allow a couple of other guys to fly open, that's your door hinge. And when I see Royals, that's exactly what I saw. And some say, you know, you can see some Deebo Samuel in him, and there, you know, I could see that too. But the fact that he provides that door hinge kind of receiver is big for Andy Reid's offense, and it's big for Patrick Mahomes.
Mitch, there is one critique that I have about this year's draft class, and I'll tell you what it is. When they take Bassa there, I really wanted them to go running back. I really liked this running back class. I thought there were three or four that made sense at this selection to go. I know that DJ Giddens was off the board, but maybe you trade up a little bit more. I mean, four picks earlier, you go get Giddens. You had Devin Neal, who was still on the board at this time. You had Ollie Gordon, who was still on the board at this time. This is where, if I was Brett Veach, I would have gone running back here in that fifth round at pick 156 and maybe passed on the linebacker.
Well, I'm not going to argue with any of that because I was thinking the same thing. But what I wanted in this draft is what you got in the seventh round. Because if I told you at the beginning of the draft you would get a future Juju Smith-Schuster potentially and a future Jerick McKinnon at the least potentially and maybe even more than that, would you have taken it?
Yeah, but I guess where I would maybe, I guess, disagree a little bit is...
I love all the guys you mentioned. If we got Devin Neal, I would going to go crazy. I love DJ Giddens. I think he's going to be a longtime pro, and I think he's perfect for the Colts. I would have taken any of those guys, the kid from Tennessee that slipped down. But the guy we got, man, I'm telling you, go watch his video. He was a wide receiver at Miami, comes to SMU, and SMU goes, we're going to make you Isaiah Pacheco. Well, he doesn't look like Isaiah Pacheco to me, but he does look like a wide receiver that has running back instincts. Kick returner, 4-3-7, angle routes, circle routes, mismatches against linebackers, go routes. The question, can he protect? He's going to have to protect. You know how much I hated losing Samaje Perine because I went nuts when he sealed the AFC Championship game. That dude won games for us, and now he's a Bengal again. Okay, but I'm not saying this guy's Samaje Perine. And maybe you move a little more of a power back like Kareem Hunt into the P-run role there. But this running back, Rashard Smith, has a chance to make this offense even more efficient, effective, and explosive plays. You somewhere had to increase the team speed. And the knock on Neal or Giddens, if there was one, was the fact that they are not burner 4-3-7s. This kid is, and he catches the football. So he's not a between the tackles, or both Neal and Giddens were explosive, and I love those guys, and if we drafted him, I'd be ecstatic. But this guy brings an element, Rashard Smith, that this team hasn't had, unless McKinnon gave that to him, and McKinnon wasn't 4-3-7. So I'm fired up about the Smith pick, even more and more and more that I find out about him.
Mitch, I'll get you out of here with this. I mean, this is the team now. Sure, there might be a veteran move that happens, but, I mean, we are past free agency. We are past the draft. This is, in all intents, like, this is the Chiefs for this upcoming season. How are you feeling about their offseason? How are you feeling about the draft? How are you feeling about this roster heading into all of the offseason workouts?
Well, Brad Veach has taught me you think about today, but you think about tomorrow. And I think they're ready to go. If Rashee Rice can play almost a full season, and with him, now we're going to go back to where we thought we were a year ago, except you have a one-year experience in Xavier Worthy. And I love the way he ended the year because he showed toughness, man. So you take those three guys, you fire in Jalen Royals to throw in there with the guys you've already got, and Juju to train Jalen Royals to be his replacement. It would be the tight end position. And a couple of these undrafted free agent tight ends are going to be kind of fun to watch and see if they can't. The kid from Clemson, Jared Casey, the kid from near my hometown, he's from Plainville and played at KU. The tight end position, because Kelsey's retirement looms, now becomes where the hot lights are, because it's so big in this offense and so important for Patrick Mahomes. Otherwise, maybe a veteran presence as a backup on the offensive line, or maybe Hunter Norzed becomes that guy and just locks it down between him and Mike Caliendo, if you're going to start Suamatia left guard. So otherwise, I think they're ready to rock. And I know the division did great things. They drafted well. The division's sick of losing to us, and they're coming after us. But look at what we've done to counterpunch. We're coming after people in 25, and this is a roster already that is stationed and poised to do that.
And that is the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtz is joining us on the show today to recap this year's draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch, I'm not sure the next time we're going to have you on the show, but I certainly look forward to your next appearance on the show.
Never know, C-Dot. You never know. Maybe we do something after minicamp, because that tells you something because of the way coach approaches it. I've told you this many times, that coach approaches OTAs like it's mini camp, and mini camp like it's training camp, and training camp like it's let's get ready to play week one. So maybe mid-June, when the guys break for their 2 or 3 weeks off, maybe we jump in and see what we've got at that point.
You know what, Mitch? Why don't you have your people call my people, and we can probably set something up.
Yeah. You got my people. You got my canciere. You know who that is. So you can talk to Tom Hayden and see what he's got.
That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. Thanks, Mitch.
See you, boy.
Appreciate you. That is Mitch Holtz joining us on the show today. We don't have to spend too much more time talking about running back. I know we talked about a running back the last few days a lot. It honestly is the story to me from the Chiefs draft. This is where I'll disagree with Mitch, and I think people that share this opinion. Maybe Breshard Smith turns out to be the next Jerick McKinnon. I think there was an opportunity in this year's draft to swing higher than Jerick McKinnon. Like, I necessarily wasn't looking for a player that one-to-one fit a role that they already had. So, yes, if you're telling me that Jalen Royals turns out to be Juju Smith-Schuster, well, great. Juju Smith-Schuster had 1,000 yards with the Pittsburgh Steelers, almost had 1,000 yards with Kansas City. Like, Juju, it was a very good wide receiver when he was in his prime. That prime is over, but Juju's had a good career in the NFL. If you're telling me with the 133rd pick, that's what you got, great. I think in this running back class, there's going to be 10 or 11 guys that just end up being better than Jerick McKinnon and end up being the best running back on the roster. I would just be very surprised if Breshard Smith ends up being the best running back on their roster. And that's why, at least for me, in that fifth round pick, you had an opportunity to take somebody where we look in a year from now and we think, oh, that was a really good move by the Chiefs. They got Devin Neal in the fifth round. Look at the value. He ran for 900 yards, and now that you give him more carries, more opportunities, he could be an 1,100-yard back for the Chiefs. So that's just where I'm on the other side. Maybe he ends up being Jerick McKinnon, but Jerick McKinnon's like a third down change of pace, catch the ball out of the backfield. I think you had a chance to get a 1,000-yard rusher in this draft class, and I just don't think they got that player with Breshard Smith. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law.
Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season, because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Rob, I want to get back to serious sports things, and I promise you we will, but I can't leave this week and then not talk to you about this story. Have you ever worn a pair of Air Force Ones before, Rob? Like when that song by Nelly was out.
I used to own a pair because of that song.
Okay. I think we all did. It was a very popular song. I'm sure it sold millions of shoes for Nike. Now, what color did you have? Did you have a fresh all whites? Did you have, like, what kind of Air Force Ones did you have back in the day?
I had white on white.
You had the all whites?
Because it was in the song.
Okay, you had to get the white on whites. Okay, all right. I'm making sure. I don't know. I've never asked you this question before. Well, did you know that Nike is releasing a pair that already come in the box dirty? Because you remember how it was. You didn't want... Because if you got one scuff on the all whites or they started to get dirty, you couldn't wear them anymore. You messed up your all whites. You had to get you a new pair. Well, this pair, they think they have revolutionized the sneaker game. I'll send you this picture, Rob. The shoes, they are called the Dirty Triple Whites. They come in the box looking beat up. But the technology is the more you wear them, instead of getting dirty, they actually turn white. They say that the shoe's dirty look is part of a scratch-away exterior that gets cleaner and crispier the more you wear them and the more time you spend in the shoe. They're selling these for $130. This is one of the biggest scams I've ever heard in my entire life. I've never heard of a scam bigger than this before. You're telling me the shoes look worn and beat up and I have to wear them to get the fresh, crispy whites? Oh, this is a hoodwink. You think we're stupid? No chance. No. I would not get these shoes. I just didn't know if you had you a fresh pair of Air Force Ones. I didn't know. I never knew this about you. I learned something about you today. I've known you for what, 7, 8 years? Had no clue you had a pair of the white-on-white Air Force Ones.
I'm still sitting back here mind-boggled. So you buy them and they're dirty at $150 a pop as opposed to buying them clean, and you have to wear them a bunch and they get clean over time?
Yes.
But So it's impossible to get them dirty then, right? Like a scuff or anything would be.
I don't know.
I don't know how.
We'll never know.
It's an all-time finesse. Just first team all steal your money. But
I'm just trying to figure out when Air Force Ones turned into $130. I'm guessing when you got your pair of all-white Air Force Ones, they were what, like 65?
Yeah,
maybe 75?
I mean,
they're now 130 for the Air Force Ones.
When I bought Air Force Ones, I didn't have to make a decision between eggs and Air Force Ones.
No, that's true.
The world's changed.
No, that's fair.
Do you want an omelet or do you want a fresh pair of Air Force One?
That's fair. Okay, I just didn't know. I learned so much. I didn't know you were Air Force One individual. Give me two pair is what Rob Britton used to say back in the day. You would wear those with like a fresh pair of like Abercrombie jeans or American Eagle. I'm guessing first day of school, Rob Britton, you were fitted going to Blue Valley Northwest.
I mean, I looked like the American Eagle model, except for...
I'm sure you did.
Except for the quality of look.
I'm sure.
The body type was different, but if you were like, hey, this kid's wearing the pastel polo and the cargo shorts that are kind of torn at the bottom with some Air Force Ones, that was Rob Brent in eighth grade.
I remember I was in college, and I remember one day I was thinking to myself, hey, what's going on at Hollister? Like, why does it always look so, like, dark and secluded in there? You remember all the stores had, like, a different storefront. But Hollister, you couldn't really see into it. You had to go inside. Because I was just always, like, I'd always walk past this, never walked in there. And I was genuinely curious of what was going on in there. I went in there, and I was like, oh, okay, this is just like American Eagle. But for the longest time, I thought they were running some kind of back operation, some kind of shady dealing inside Hollister, because you couldn't easily see into the store like everywhere else.
Did you ever, and we're going off track here, but life, did you ever see the Abercrombie Netflix documentary?
I did, actually.
It was fantastic.
I did.
There was a time where...
Two Americas. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was a Two Americas story.
That was Two Americas?
It was definitely... Abercrombie was definitely a Two America story.
Hold on. Kanye West, back before he went banana land, was constantly wearing Abercrombie.
Yeah, Kanye's fashion and what everybody else's fashion was wearing in 2001 was a little bit different. That's what made Kanye so cool, is he was wearing stuff that everybody else wasn't wearing at that time. That's what made it a little different.
He was a staple, the Abercrombie American Eagle community.
I'm with you. No, I learned so much about you in this segment. I had no clue. I learned something new every day. Somebody asked if you used to go to the Buckle.
Nah, Buckle wasn't for me. PacSun, also not for me. Let's just check all the boxes.
I actually did used to like PacSun. I was a PacSun guy. I used to like PacSun. I'm going to be real. I did used to like PacSun. I'll walk in there now. I might not buy anything, but I'll walk in PacSun, look around for a little bit, check out the t-shirts before I get out of there.
Do kids have an Abercrombie or PacSun now?
I think kids just shop on the internet for clothes.
We're losing recipes.
No, certainly losing recipes. I like Urban Outfitters. You go there?
No.
I'll go there. I'll get something from there.
I went there a bunch in college. I
didn't know.
I feel like a place you can buy jeans and a shot book is not the place to buy jeans.
That's a good point.
Hey, do you want coasters, a shot book, a hat, and jeans? I got the spot for you.
Actually, you know what? I don't know if that's fair, because you can get that from Marshalls or TJ Maxx. You can get both of those things. Those aren't nearly as hip. Think about that. You can get a couch and you can get your summer wardrobe from the exact same place. So you know what? I think you're being a little unfair here.
I will say, as an adult, I find myself at Marshalls and the at-home store far often than I ever thought I would.
Home Goods.
Home Goods, 100%.
You seem like a Kohl's and Home Goods kind of guy.
We're making the transition. This is the thing that I didn't think I'd ever worry about. We're making the transition in the house from, hey, it's winter to spring decor, and I find myself at Marshall's and Home Goods in these stores far more often than I ever anticipated I would in my life.
The thing that always cracks me up about those conversations is they ask you a question fully knowing that you either don't care about it, and it doesn't matter really what your input is anyway. They already had an idea in mind. They just simply ask you so you can feel a part of the process, even though you really want nothing to do with the part of the process. I don't really care. As long as you're happy with how things look, I just want to come home, watch TV, and watch the game and have a beer. So as long as whatever domicile you create allows me that ability, I don't really care how you decorate it that much.
I mean, I have my little man cave. I like it to be a certain way, so I get it. But
you spent plenty of Saturday just screaming at Jalen Daniels. I know you have.
Oh yeah, that's what
I know you have.
It was the fall at Jalen Daniels, then the winter at Hunter Dickinson. But you know what? Now
Ryland Griffin was just giving you just him and AJ Store just gave you nothing but grief out in January.
And now I find myself at Hobby Lobby figuring out which you know little plastic bush we're gonna put in the house.
There ain't nothing worse than after you just watch Ryland Griffin go 1-for-8 from the field. She then looks at you and says, "Hey babe, do you want to go to Home Goods?" "No, I don't actually."
Why are you out here hating on potential future Tiger? Future Tiger Ryland Griffin.
I don't want him.
You might not, but Dennis Gates does.
Well, they need somebody who can shoot it. So Ryland Griffin might be the one that they go pick up to have shoot it. All right, we'll get back to very serious sports things. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we don't have a lot of time, but we do have the time to share some stats with you. The Royals, if they win today, they will be over 500 heading into the month of May. This will be the 8th time this has happened in the last 20 years that they have been above or at 500 heading into the month of May. If you want to go June 1st, only 4 times in the last 20 years have they been at or above 500 heading into the month of June. In those 4 years, 2 of the times they made the postseason. If you look at last year, there were 12 teams that were at or above 500 heading into June 1st. 10 of those teams made the postseason. The Royals got past step one. They have played a decent handful of games so far this year. There is one additional month, and usually that tells us whether or not you are a playoff team or not. So it is not a one-to-one. All the teams, yes, teams have injuries that happen. Teams come out of nowhere. Teams make a second-half push. Yes, but for the most part, the team you are after the first 2 months of the season is a real good indication of the kind of team that you are. Where I am looking at this thing through a glass-half-full perspective is the fact that the Royals are at 500 despite not really having a good offense for the first 30 games or so in the season is actually a really big accomplishment. Out of their big four offensively, if you want to throw Jonathan India into that mix, only Bobby is really hitting his normal average. I mean, Salvador Perez has kind of turned things around the last 10 days or so, but I mean, Vinny Pasquantino isn't what he was in July of last year. Jonathan India has been a little bit inconsistent, and Salvador Perez, he's been all right, but he's still hitting 225 and not really hitting for a lot of power, but is clearly turning things around for this team. This is a really important month as the schedule lightens up just a little bit to kind of see where the Royals are. The Royals got off to a little bit of a rough start, but I give the Royals a lot of credit for fighting back, getting to 500, and playing their best baseball in the second half of the month. Now, as the calendar is about to turn into May, what does that mean for the Royals? What does that look like for the Royals? The next 30 days for this team is really, really important, and it will tell us whether or not the Royals have a chance at once again being a playoff team. We were talking about this earlier. Somebody sent in the text about the Royals feeling like a 9-8 football team. I'll take that. The Royals have not been the equivalent of a 9-8 football team for too many seasons in our life. That I'm with you. This season maybe hasn't gotten off to the overwhelming start that you thought it could potentially do, but we're talking about a team that has been pretty good, team that's been fairly consistent for the most part, a team that seems to be figuring things out and turning the corner in an American League that seems very, very bunched up and everybody seems to kind of be clustered together. Now we'll start to see as the season progresses who creates separation, who can continue to stay hot, who stays healthy, who gives themselves a chance. So I would say for the first part of the season, I give the Royals a C, C plus. They were average. That's fine. You don't need to get an A plus in April. You just can't get an F. You can't get a D. You can't fail April. You now allow yourself the ability to move on, and now let's see what the next 30 games look like for the Royals. And as the schedule lightens up a little bit, Rob, it gives them a little bit of leeway here. It gives them a little bit of a runway that I want to see them be 5-6 games over 500 heading into the summer.
I feel like the Royals season has gone exactly how we kind of anticipated. I remember before the season we had conversations of if the Royals are 500-ish at the 30-game mark, will fans be cool with it or will they be frustrated and down on the team? We saw that in real time. They came through, but we'll maybe end up, maybe not, you know how the schedule's going to shake out, the most difficult stretch they have on their schedule, and they came out on the other side relatively fine, 500. If you can get some bats going and you see Perez turn a corner and Bobby Witt's a freak, if you can get those things going, then you feel like, hey, the White Sox haven't played us yet. The Angels haven't played us yet. There are a lot of bad teams still on the schedule, and you can get kind of fat and happy. And you're right. If they were a 9-8-10-7 football team that made the postseason again, no one should be complaining. And then it's a distant conversation, but they have the pitching to at least have a conversation about winning a series in October, but they didn't kill themselves in April, and that's the end goal.
We are off early today because of the Kansas City Royals. I am off for the rest of the week, but I'll be back on Monday. Hopefully, you guys have a great rest of your week. Bink's going to be in for me for the rest of the week. I'll catch up with you guys. Have a great rest of your day. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.